Euronet Plus Panorama is a weekly review of European news broadcast by our network of EU radio stations.
Hi there, welcome back to Euronet Plus Panorama. This week, MEPs gathered in Strasbourg for the last plenary session of this legislature. They faced a voting marathon, with some 90 legislative dossiers and 7 resolutions up for the vote. Particularly eagerly awaited were the debate and final vote on the Right to Repair Directive, gender-based violence, packaging and packaging waste, the air quality text, the review of the Common Agricultural Policy, and the European Disability Card, among others. As well as looking at a selection of these votes, we will also take the chance today to reflect on some of the achievements and setbacks of this 9th parliamentary term. It may have taken a few years, but on Tuesday, the 23rd of April, the long-awaited Right to Repair Directive became a reality, subject to formal approval in the Council, when it was adopted in Strasbourg by a landslide. The new rules aim to reduce waste by obliging manufacturers to repair goods quickly and cost-effectively after the legal guarantee period has expired. S&D member Mark Angel tells Luxembourgish broadcaster 100.7 that the benefits are manifold.
Even after a product's warranty has expired, it should still be repairable. This is what is new. We want to move away from a throwaway culture. We've really achieved something here where the consumer benefits by saving money and, simultaneously, the environment benefits too. This, I believe, is the real added value.
The directive makes it easier for consumers to access spare parts and guidance on carrying out their own repairs. It also includes repair incentives and provides for assistance in locating repair services and refurbished goods. In the end, a resounding 584 MEPs voted in favour and only 3 against. France's EU radio asks rapporteur René Rapasi, a German S&D member, if he was surprised by the overwhelming cross-party support. He responds that the directive was really a no-brainer.
We made the Commission proposal more ambitious and the Council went the extra way in order to accept many improvements that the Parliament has introduced. These were very special circumstances due to the very fact that this is obviously a gain for consumers, it is obviously a gain for medium-sized enterprises, and that brought political forces together. But also because in the negotiations, the biggest stumbling blocks were indeed set aside.
Then on Wednesday, the Parliament adopted the first ever EU rules to combat gender-based violence. The new directive calls for stronger laws, more support for victims, and steps to prevent rape. It also incorporates online offences, including the disclosure of someone's private information, and cyber flashing. The change in the law was motivated by a widespread feeling that sexual and domestic violence should be treated consistently across the EU. However, agreement could not be reached on a standard consent-based definition of rape. This was blocked by several member states, including Germany, whose justice minister ruled that rape could not be regulated under EU law. The European Parliament was insisting on an only yes means yes approach, yet certain countries preferred to hold on to their no means no principle, which puts the onus on victims to prove that they refused consent. Austrian MEP Evelyn Regner is disappointed with this outcome, but still believes there is much to celebrate. AMS shares her comments.
Only yes means yes. This is key to our general coexistence. This is especially true in moments when we are particularly vulnerable. This is especially true when it comes to sexual acts. So it was, of course, a bitter disappointment to me when it became clear that our new EU law would not be able to follow the European Parliament's only yes means yes approach. The resistance in the Council was too great. But we have achieved a great deal with this new EU law. We emphasize that violence is not a private matter, both online and offline. This violence protection package is an important start.
Now is probably a good time to reflect more generally on some of the Parliament's successes and disappointments over the last 5 years. Erasmus Plus, one of Europe's keystone programmes, which combines the EU's various schemes for transnational cooperation and mobility in the fields of education, training, youth and sport, entered its second funding cycle in 2021 during this parliamentary term. The following year, 2022, was officially designated the European Year of Youth. Since Europe's young people have been such a focus during this legislature, EU Radio asks French Renew Europe MEP Laurence Farenc what Erasmus Plus has achieved over the last few years.
We have practically doubled the programme budget precisely in order to give ourselves the means to send away young people or groups of people who were not previously part of the programme. In terms of budget, in the Erasmus regulation, we set out the new beneficiaries of this plan, stating specifically that it is really important to go beyond higher education students who already find it easier to go away thanks to their curriculum and level of autonomy and the fact that this traditional Erasmus program is now established. So we said, now we want to get younger people to go away. We have this opportunity to encourage primary, lower secondary and upper secondary pupils to go away. And above all, we are going to target young people on different types of courses, such as those linked to vocational training, apprenticeships, etc. C'est-à-dire des cursus liés à la
formation professionnelle, à l'apprentissage. But what still needs to be done?
On a besoin de renforcer nos compétences européennes.
We need to strengthen our European skills. In the face of the challenges of energy, ecological and digital transformation, it is very important that Europe moves towards this union of skills and sharing of skills, which is also one of the major objectives we are pursuing through the future European Education Area, EEA, and the recognition, eventually, of all diplomas, since we are not there yet. So yes, Erasmus has made enormous progress. The challenge for the next programme will be to consolidate these major new dimensions.
Ces grandes dimensions de nouveauté.
RTBF talks to two Belgian MEPs, an EPP member and a Green. Although the conversations take place in separate interviews, they inevitably end up on common ground, notably the climate and agriculture. EPP politician Benoît Lutgen is asked if Brussels has gone too far in respect of farmers.
It's not just farmers. I think that, more generally, the difficulties are linked to the European Union's approach, which is highly regulatory in terms of procedures and administrative burdens, not just in terms of the environment, but also in terms of health, animal welfare and social issues. Regulations, procedures, standards and controls are not the only way forward, either for a country or for the European Union. That's where the mistake lies.
The Belgian broadcaster puts this question of too much regulation to Philippe Lambert, who, after 15 years as a Green MEP, will not be standing in the upcoming elections.
When you have to manage a domestic market of 450 million consumers, yes, these laws have to be made somewhere, and this is the place.
Yet the Green member is extremely unhappy about the outcome of another of this week's votes, the one that saw the bloc's fiscal rules tightened, with member states under pressure to reduce excessive debt. The rules had previously been relaxed to kickstart Europe's economy post-COVID, and they have not returned to their pre-COVID rigidity. Yet the Green MEP is devastated about the potential impact of this decision on the green transition.
Without massive private and above all public investment, we're going to miss our targets big time. So this vote at my last plenary session is truly heartbreaking. As I say, it's a form of environmental, social, economic and geopolitical suicide. So the European Union, which is not a poor continent, is saying, yes, but we must reduce public debt. At a time when all slightly serious economists are saying, guys, if we make the investments we need to make, we have to accept that the stock of public debt will increase to a limited extent, but it will increase for some time.
Indeed, many other voices around the bloc are stressing that climate change will not take a break. So putting climate policy on the back burner, or somehow up for debate in the election campaign, should not be an option. Co-chair of the German Greens, Omid Nouripour, for example, who spoke at a press conference in Germany on Monday, AMS reports.
The Green Deal is central to the future of competitiveness and Europe as a business location. We believe it should have been common sense. We believe it should actually be the lowest common denominator between the democratic parties, that we have to make this continent climate neutral.
Lithuanian Renew Europe MEP Petras Auštrevičius tells Žinių Radijas that there are plenty of things that could have been done better over the course of this parliament, and gives another example.
Perhaps we could have achieved some things more quickly, with fewer distractions and doubts, and with firmer action. We have finally adopted the migration document, but look at when the crisis happened, practically 8 years ago. Look how much debate, doubt, distraction, and so on were needed in the EU to get where we are. With security and defence, we do not have that privilege.
Political science professor Šarūnas Liekis from Lithuania's Vytautas Magnus University explains why progress may appear to have stagnated during this term. Brussels has had a lot of fires to fight.
We may one day be able to look back on this European Parliament as one that fought to respond to crises, although no real progress has been made. The European Parliament and Commission have not been able to overcome these challenges, apart from COVID. COVID was sorted out. Yet in terms of the overall systemic crisis, which is linked to global contradictions, relations with the US, with China, well, we could say that we're in a transitional period, that the European Parliament is still working to overcome the crisis. We will only see whether it is actually able to do so after these elections.
Thanks for listening. We're taking a 2-week break now, but we'll be back again on the 17th of May. See you then.